Chapter 3. The Gospel in Type and Antitype. The long-cherished plan of David to erect a temple to the Lord, Solomon wisely carried out. For 7 years, Jerusalem was filled with busy workers engaged in leveling the chosen site, in building vast retaining walls, in laying broad foundations, great stones, costly stones, and huge stones, in shaping the heavy timbers brought from the Lebanon forests, and in erecting the magnificent sanctuary. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 17. Simultaneously with the preparation of wood and stone, to which task many thousands were bending their energies, the manufacture of the furnishings for the temple was steadily progressing under the leadership of Hiram of Tyre, a cunning man, endued with understanding, skillful to work in gold and in silver, in brass, in iron, in stone, and in timber, in purple, in blue, and in fine linen, and in crimson. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Perfect according to the patterns. Thus, as the building on Mount Moriah was noiselessly upreared with stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building, the beautiful fittings were perfected according to the patterns committed by David to his son, all the vessels that were for the house of God. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7, and 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 19. These included the altar of incense, the table of showbread, the candlestick and lamps, with the vessels and instruments connected with the ministrations of the priests in the holy place, all of gold, and that perfect gold. 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 21. The brazen furniture, the altar of burnt offering, the great laver supported by 12 oxen, the lavers of smaller size, with many other vessels, in the plain of Jordan did the king cast them, in the clay ground between Succoth and Zerdatha, 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 17. These furnishings were provided in abundance, that there should be no lack. A temple of unrivaled splendor. Of surpassing beauty and unrivaled splendor was the palatial building which Solomon and his associates erected for God and his worship. Garnished with precious stones, surrounded by spacious courts with magnificent approaches, and lined with carved cedar and burnished gold, the temple structure with its broidered hangings and rich furnishings was a fit emblem of the living church of God on earth, which through the ages has been building in accordance with the divine pattern. With materials that have been likened to gold, silver, precious stones, polished after the similitude of a palace. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, and Psalm 144, verse 12. A most splendid sanctuary had been made, according to the pattern showed to Moses in the mount, and afterward presented by the Lord to David. In addition to the cherubim on top of the ark, Solomon made two other angels of larger size, standing at each end of the ark, representing the heavenly angels guarding the law of God. It is impossible to describe the beauty and splendor of this sanctuary. Into this place the sacred ark was borne with solemn reverence by the priests, and set in its place beneath the wings of the two stately cherubim that stood upon the floor. God tokens his acceptance. The sacred choir lifted their voices in praise to God, and the melody of their voices was accompanied by all kinds of musical instruments. And while the courts of the temple resounded with praise, the cloud of God's glory took possession of the house, as it had formerly filled the wilderness tabernacle. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Like the earthly sanctuary built by Moses, according to the pattern shown him in the mount, Solomon's temple with all its services was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices. Its two holy places were patterns of things in the heavens. Christ, our great high priest, is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 2. The whole system of types and symbols was a compacted prophecy of the gospel, a presentation in which were bound up the promises of redemption. The antitype lost sight of. The Lord Jesus was the foundation of the whole Jewish economy. Its imposing services were of divine appointment. They were designed to teach the people that at the time appointed, one would come to whom these ceremonies pointed. As they departed from God, the Jews in a great degree lost sight of the teaching of the ritual service. That service had been instituted by Christ himself. In every part it was a symbol of him, and it had been full of vitality and spiritual beauty. But the Jews lost the spiritual life from their ceremonies and clung to the dead forms. They trusted to the sacrifices and ordinances themselves instead of resting upon him to whom they pointed. In order to supply the place of that which they had lost, the priests and rabbis multiplied requirements of their own, and the more rigid they grew, the less of the love of God was manifested. The temple services lost their significance. Christ was the foundation and life of the temple. Its services were typical of the sacrifice of the Son of God. The priesthood was established to represent the mediatorial character and work of Christ. The entire plan of sacrificial worship was a foreshadowing of the Savior's death to redeem the world. There would be no efficacy in these offerings when the great event toward which they had pointed for ages was consummated, since the whole ritual economy was symbolical of Christ. It had no value apart from him. When the Jews sealed their rejection of Christ by delivering him to death, they rejected all that gave significance to the temple and its services. Its sacredness had departed. It was doomed to destruction. From that day, sacrificial offerings and the service connected with them were meaningless. Like the offering of Cain, they did not express faith in the Savior. In putting Christ to death, the Jews virtually destroyed their temple. When Christ was crucified, the inner veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, signifying that the great final sacrifice had been made, and that the system of sacrificial offerings was forever at an end. In 3 days I will raise it up. In the Savior's death, the powers of darkness seemed to prevail, and they exulted in their victory. But from the rent sepulchre of Joseph, Jesus came forth a conqueror. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. By virtue of his death and resurrection, he became the minister of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 2. Men reared the Jewish tabernacle, men builded the Jewish temple, but the sanctuary above, of which the earthly was a type, was built by no human architect. Behold the man whose name is the branch. He shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Eyes turned to the true sacrifice. The sacrificial system that had pointed to Christ passed away, but the eyes of men were turned to the true sacrifice for the sins of the world. The earthly priesthood ceased, but we look to Jesus, the minister of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, and chapter 9, verses 8 to 12. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Though the ministration was to be removed from the earthly to the heavenly temple, though the sanctuary and our great high priest would be invisible to human sight, yet the disciples were to suffer no loss thereby. They would realize no break in their communion, and no diminution of power because of the Savior's absence. While Jesus ministers in the sanctuary above, he is still by his Spirit the minister of the church on earth. Our High Priest, our Advocate. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 to 26. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Christ entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. He has qualified himself to be not only man's representative, but his advocate, so that every soul, if he will, may say, I have a friend at court, a high priest who is touched with the feeling of my infirmities. The sanctuary in heaven is the very center of Christ's work in behalf of man. It concerns every soul living upon the earth. It opens to view the plan of redemption, bringing us down to the very close of time, and revealing the triumphant issue of the contest between righteousness and sin. It is of the utmost importance that all should thoroughly investigate these subjects, and be able to give everyone that asketh them a reason for the hope that is in them.